title of my sermon is A Call to Grow, and it was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison and to the church of Colossae. And he was concerned about the growth of that church, and that they were staying in the Word and living in the Word. And so, without further ado, let's open in a word of prayer and confession, and then we'll go to the Word. Lord, we just thank you for our time together here. We thank you that we live in a country where we can freely worship you. We thank you for the worship service and the lead-off that Jeff and the team gave us. And dear Lord, we just pray that your word becomes alive today to us and that we can take and apply it to our everyday lives. Dear Lord, if we have any sins, we want to be right with you today before we receive your word. We silently confess those to you. Dear Lord, we just bring it up and we pray for filling the Holy Spirit in this room as we come to worship and cherish your treasure that you've given us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing of the soul and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. Will you open the word with me today to Colossians 1, verse 9? We're going to read Colossians 1, 9 through 23. Like I said, Paul was writing this to the church. He was fearing some apostasy was happening to the church in Colossae. And if we look at what he was looking at, it was basically the church was falling to reliance on men, human tradition, elementary spirits of the universe, empty deceit, and philosophy. And so our takeaway today is to be grounded in the Word. Next slide real quick. So, truth. Truth, and this is right up on the New York Times right now. Truth, it says it's more important now than ever. And I think the Apostle Paul would have disagreed with that sign 2,000 years from now. Truth has always been important. And today we're going to look at the truth that's our living guide, and that's the Word of God. So, starting out with verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son. He loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in him. The title of the next chapter or several verses is the centrality of Christ. In this time and age, the centrality of Christ was being challenged. And we see that today. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to the first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Once you were alienated and hostile to your minds because of your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded in steadfast in the faith, and not be shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. The gospel has been proclaimed. This gospel has been claimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. Now, last week, Pastor Bill laid the groundwork for these last several verses by the centrality of Christ and how the gospel does give us new life. But we're going to start in verse 23. And next slide, one more. So verse 23, if indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and not shifted away. So my big theme this week is servanthood. I have become a servant. And as the first thing of servanthood is to be grounded and steadfast in faith. Now, this is for Pastor Nathan. The word for faith is pistis, and the Greek word. And it's great when, you know, these Greek translations in the Bible that you get nowadays in your iPad. Pistis means persuasion, credence, moral conviction, especially reliance in Christ for our salvation. It's a conditional, though. If we remain grounded, and that's a challenge for the church to remain grounded in faith and not shift away from the hope of the gospel. In Matthew, Jesus himself said, many will call me Lord, Lord, and I will say, I never knew you. So is it possible to be in a church, to be a part of a religion, and have Christ actually say that? There are numerous examples in the New Testament where that did happen. We read the stats, and in England, you know, they always said, oh, you're a Christian nation. And I lived in England for 3 years. And you look at the stats in England, 13% of the population in England actually professed a faith in Christ. And our numbers have been falling in America, and they just went, the latest poll is 70% of us still claim to be Christians. And one day I was with a bunch of co-workers, and I had just read this poll, and I said, hey, how many people here actually claim to be Christians? And sure enough, there was like 13 people there, and about 9 people said, yes, I'm a Christian. And when you challenge them, that's like, okay, what makes you a Christian? One of the guys went, well, you know, I went to catechism when I was 13, so I guess that makes me a Christian. I don't think that passes muster. I don't think that's a relationship with our living Lord. Jesus said in Luke 7 to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And anybody know what this woman was doing? She was washing his feet with her hair. This was in Simon's house. And this is when the Pharisees were like, why are you letting the sinner, the prostitute, wash your feet? Because she had come to true repentance. She had come to know her Lord and Savior. And her life had changed. And Jesus said, go in peace. Next slide, please. So this is a picture I just took a couple months ago. Some of you might know Colin Campbell there. He's the guy who just came back, and he took my job at the squadron, and I bumped up to the wing. And on beauty day, we flew up to Grand Junction, Colorado. For those of you who don't know, I'm privileged enough to be a naval aviator. I get to fly those things around. I've been flying over 30-some years. Probably one of the top 5 people in the United States has been blessed to be able to fly that long. And I get to test the newest, latest, and greatest equipment. Guys that, you know, the guys in the aircraft carrier have not, things that the guys in the aircraft carrier have not even seen yet. So God's been incredibly awesome to me in blessing me to be able to fly that. But I hearken back to the days of flight school, that beginning of faith, as you were. And I was sold up on the Navy. I was sold on being there. And guess who I was there with in that room? Anybody want to guess the movie that had just come out when I went to flight school? Top Gun. I mean, my entire life, I had models of airplanes and everything. I mean, I was all in. And I was sitting there, and people just got to see the movie. And they were looking around like, where's Kelly McGillis? And, yes, and I found mine later. And I was psyched, and yet it's like, what are these, you know, it's an awful crowded room here, and ready to roll. So, you know, they come in and they give you the motivational speech. It's like, hey, you're going to be landing aircraft carriers. You're going to be doing amazing things. You've got to stick the course. And I was sold in. Those guys who signed on the dotted line after seeing a movie, you quickly found out if their heart was in it. The next day of flight school, do you think they came in and gave the same motivational speech? Hey, you're sold in, you're doing great things, you know what they did the next day in flight school? They gave you a stack of books and procedures to roll in hot on. And our Christian life is not about the first day. I mean, we get blessings for that. Our Christian life is growth and maturity to someday to be able to be able to fly very sophisticated things around. And in between that picture and flight school, there were some horrendous challenges. Sometimes when I watched friends crash in the aircraft carrier right in front of me and literally fly over the ship at night with flames coming up, my aircraft buckling from the heat rising from the carrier, no gas, in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and saying, we'll try to get gas. We just asked the Indian Air Force if you could land at their base, and they said no. Those were tight times then. You know, that's when you're grounded in your training. And actually, on that night, it was a great fusing of my faith. I mean, I looked up at the heavens and just knew that God was there in the cockpit with me. Next slide, please. So now we're going to go back to verse 9 and start this narrative over. So what's Paul's challenge to the people? For this reason also, since the day we've heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and wisdom and all understanding. So in verse 9, to be filled with the knowledge of his will, that is actually the Greek word pleiro. And it's pronounced pleiro. And so what does fill mean? It means to be crammed. And that reminded me a lot of flight school too. I was cramming my head with knowledge. Do we really have that hunger to cram our heads with the knowledge of his will? John MacArthur says about this verse, this is not an inner impression or feeling, but a deep and thorough knowledge of the will of God that is finally and completely revealed in the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'll tell you what, I was eager to go into flight school, but this is also something that we should be eager about day by day. This is not like bad news. You know, we're in an era of name it, claim it gospel, just say I do, and then you're going to be blessed your whole life. This is a walk worthy of walking with the Lord. And the results are in the following verses. Here are the results. Tell me if you don't want to be a part of this. Fully pleasing, bearing fruit, growing in knowledge, strengthen in patience, you're strengthened in endurance, and in verse 12, giving thanks. Wow. I was just reading this week, and you know, when you read the Word of God, your devotionals just come alive to you. And anybody read Ecclesiastes lately? It's kind of a dour book. It basically starts with futile, futile. Everything is futile. Life is futile. And it was one of the things that, you know, I was telling one of the guys this morning, it's like a stream flows into the ocean and it never fills up. Have you ever thought of that? You know, just in futility, a stream flowing in the ocean. It's like the ocean isn't getting any fuller. It's never filling up. Life is futile. And pretty much the whole book is like that in my devotional. But, you know, at the end of the book, it really caps off the whole book of Ecclesiastes. And basically Solomon said in the end, who is the author, in the end, fear God and obey his commandments. And, you know, we live in a day of apologetics and for your faith and everything. And I mean, I'm big into it, you know, creationism, bacterium flagellum. If you're a biology major, it's a little cell with a literal motorboat on the back of it. That's a nuclear-powered engine. And, you know, it's fun to ask people, so how did that evolve? How did the mechanisms of this one cell evolve? When Einstein said, or not Einstein, but Darwin, thank you, Tara. I knew you were here for a reason. Darwin said, hey, well, complexity is all to a cell. If there's anything below that, basically my theory goes up in smoke. So that bacterium flagellum, who developed that? Well, we know the Lord did. Ephesians 5, so for the will of God, Ephesians 5:17 says, for this reason, do not be foolish. Be wise in understanding what the Lord's will is. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for you to prosper, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Wow, that doesn't sound futile, does it? I mean, I've got a plan. And I'll tell you what, God's always, just since I've been a Christian, imposed that plan and that sense of purpose in my life. And that gives you something to fight for. In the military, I would not want to fight for a evil dictatorship. I mean, in the Navy, we live in one of the best countries that God's ever blessed to be on this earth. I mean, by God's grace, we stand here today. We live in a country that was developed by Christian founders that had the principles of God's word in it. You know, principles of freedom, principles of just able to express yourself in speech and able to worship freely as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:15, for it is God's will that by doing you should not be, you should be silenced. You should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. So the great debate, how do we do that? We do that in love. I mean, we answer in love. Proverbs 3 and 5 is one of my life verses. 3, 5, and 6 is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on your understanding and in all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. One of the major roles of the church is worship, maturing believers, and spreading the word of God. And that's what Paul's, the crux of Paul in verse 9 is getting at here. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and thankfulness in your heart to God. So going to the word and letting that become alive in you is total work of the Holy Spirit. It's not an academic thing. It was an academic thing in the F-18. I mean, when I learned procedures, I had them. Christianity is not about learning procedures. It's about letting God's word become alive to you. I told you I was in Ecclesiastes this week. Well, I have a friend whose family member is undergoing a lot of hard times right now. And when you're undergoing a lot of hard times, the alcohol or drug abuse, life can seem pretty futile. And I was able to send words of encouragement and talk to that person this week just because I was in the Word of God. I mean, what words do I say? God gave those words to me in my morning devotion. We try to be a church, and our church, you know, bylaws and our church constitution here at Emmanuel, we try to be a church that follows this pattern. When we look at our church, three of our six bylaws are, you know, growing in Christ, teaching the gospel, and worshiping, and standing beside families that do that. One of the ways we do that is with our youth ministry. We send them to camp, and we just sent our youth to the state youth conference. And church, you've been very, very generous in scholarshiping. I mean, our goal was never to have anybody not being able to afford going to the state youth conference. And since I get to talk to them every week, and then they knew I was coming, they were kind of groaning last week, and I was like, guess what? I'm going to have you guys come up in the middle of my sermon and tell about State Youth Conference and how the Word of God in your path and how it affected your path came, you know, those goals through State Youth Conference. How did it become alive and powerful? So without further ado, guys coming up. Introduce yourself.
Okay. Hi, I'm Madison Japp, and I'm one of the students who got to go to State Youth Conference this year. The second day of State Youth Conference, a speaker named Chris Simmings came and gave a message. Chris Simmings has a rare disease where his spine became twisted and he was unable to walk. After a miracle, Chris Simmings is now able to walk. However, his appearance remains the same and his speech is still slurred. He shared his struggles about his appearance and his speech, but he also shared how God has used these things in his life to help him reach others. From this, I learned that God can take the difficult things in my life and the struggles in my life and use them to help the glory of his kingdom.
Woo! Next slide, please, Steve. And we color coordinated today, too.
Hello, my name is Mason Japp, and my 2017 admission experience was great. What spoke to me the most was said on the second night as well by the same man, Chris Simmings. He said that religion, you can try to box up He said that when people ask me what religion I am, I reply none. He explained his reasoning by saying, you can try to box up religion and try to put boundaries on it, but it's a lifestyle. He also said, to further prove his point, you're not going to say your best friend is a religion or your mom and dad is a religion. It just doesn't make sense. This spoke to me because I do try to box up religion, especially at school or around other non-Christians that might take offense when I bring it up. So this also is prohibiting me from using my full potential for God's glory. Thank you for letting me share my experiences in your time.
I'm James Kephart. One of the main points that stuck out to me was the main speaker. His name was D.A. Horton. And one of the points he made was if I went and went to McDonald's and got an extra large drink and took that cup and told you all that I was going to fit the entire Pacific Ocean in that cup, you'd probably think I'm crazy, right? So that cup is us as sinners and Christians, and the ocean is sin. So we essentially were saying that we as Christians cannot fit all of the sin in the world on top of ourselves, so we need God to help us bear that weight.
Wow, amen.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Boy, it took a lot for them to come up here. They were not excited about it, so. One of them was like, I came here this morning and I was like, I had all that I was going to say and then it just went poof. And I know what that means because you're getting kind of a weird version of what I thought I was going to say too. But I went, you just got to go blazing through that. And he was like, it's easy for you to say you're a pilot. And it's just like, how does a pilot, you know, come with easy to talk to people? I talk in a radio. I can hide behind an airplane when I do it. Okay, so next slide, please, Stephen. How does the church role? I mean, I just took some paste off of some latest Bible studies, and these are all just starting that are doing our church. Somewhere in the announcements, our small group is starting next week with a David Platt Global Gospel in a World of Religions, basically comparing different religions, the big religions of the world, and then really equipping believers on how to talk to those different people groups. You know, in a non-combative way, but just giving them hope in the declaration of the gospel. Women's studies doing the wisdom of God, and that's a study in Psalms. Another small group, and all these small groups have invited anybody who wants to come. It's a great time to get to know us. A Life Beyond Amazing is by Dr. Jeremiah. Once again, your Christian walk in with the Word reinforcing that. In Sunday school, we got the Art of Marriage, which is Covenant Keepers class. Great study just to reinforce husband-wife relations. We talked about Rob Ostrom's, you know, Financial Peace University. That's going to be on Wednesday night. And then wrapping up with, and these are just some. We still have other Bible studies. Tuesday morning, Women in Worship resumes with their studies. So, well, a lot of choices. We try to do it at night, in the morning, on the weekend, Sunday nights. I mean, we really want to encourage you to make the Word of God and study and fellowship with fellow believers a priority and try to plug into one of those. Next slide, please. So let's go to verse 13. Why all of this? In verse 13 it says, He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us in the kingdom of the Son He loves. We have been rescued from darkness. The Greek word for that, I won't bore you with more Greek words, but the Greek word from that is saved, delivered. We have been rescued from darkness. We go to Ephesians 5:11, and nowadays there is a prevalent darkness. There's always been a darkness, but every movie that you see nowadays has a dark theme to it. I mean, one of my unbelieving friends, you know, I expect Christians to say this, but he was like, have you noticed in all movies nowadays there's like an anti-hero? I mean, it's like, and my wife says it started with Maleficent, when the witch was actually not a bad person. We just misunderstood her, and now she's a good person. But there's all these superheroes or, you know, that have been thrown in jail or now getting out of jail or out of purgatory, and now they're coming back and they've just misunderstood. And darkness is relative, and that's the theme today. But back to the truth that Jesus portrayed to Pontius Pilate, you know, there is good, there is evil. And if you were the ruler of darkness, wouldn't you try to water down that message? Wouldn't you try to say, you know, it's just based on perspective? And back to the Word of God, why do we do it? Ephesians 5:11, to close ourselves in the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but the rulers, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. Boy, sounds tough stuff there. Next slide, please. We just had at the squadron our back-in-the-saddle safety stand-down. This is a pilot, Air Force retired major. His name is Brian Scholl. If you look at his picture in the bottom right, he's 70 years old, but his face has, he underwent 15 surgeries for severe burns in his face. He was a pilot in Vietnam who was shot down, and he tried to bail out, but he couldn't make it out of the airplane. And his testimony is, he goes, well, I just thought I was going to be with the Lord because I was just riding my airplane into the jungle. And so he rode his airplane into the jungle, and then these are his words. He goes, the next thing I know, I'm sitting in flames burning all around me. And he was like, well, maybe I didn't have a relationship with the Lord I thought I did. and then he climbed out in bad guy territory, climbed out on the wing, got a few feet away from the airplane and just laying in the bushes. And certain death. I mean, you're burned, you're sure you're going to die, you're in the middle of the jungle, and no good guys around anywhere. And he literally had soldiers, enemy soldiers, walking within feet of him as he's under this bush. Finally, special paratrooper forces come in, and they rescue him. They didn't give him any time to live. He got radio contact with them. And his message was really good, and it's a Christian message, too. It's like, he goes, from that day, he went to the hospital, and he just kept going, Lord, I just want to die. I mean, he said, I wish I could have been the tough guy, and to say I took all these 15 surgeries well, I cried like a baby. And he said, it just clicked on him one day. It was like, God has given me this life to live, and I'm going to live it from now from this point on. And so he said, I was reborn then. And so when he went to fly the SR-71, guess how old he was? He was 12 years old from the time he was reborn. He went back into the Air Force. And so he was like, so how would a 12-year-old fly the SR-71? And I mean, then he gave all kinds of cool stories about going across Nebraska in 4 minutes, which, everybody but my wife says is the best way to go across Nebraska. But incredible story, and really, it's a great story. It leads into a response to the gospel. Are you laying there beside a burning airplane? Now, here is the tough part that we always get. We always make it sound like I'm laying there beside a burning airplane. Therefore, I need the gospel. I need the Lord. But guess who also needed it? The A4 driver, the fighter who was overhead providing cover, he thought he was pretty good up there. He hadn't been shot down that day. He was in one of the best airplanes ever. He was delivering close air support. He needed the Lord too. A lot of times we think, you know, and the message goes out, are you feeling down? Are you feeling at the end of your rope? Are you feeling like Ecclesiastes when it says all is futile, nothing is well? We'll call upon the Lord. And certainly, that's a message for you. But there are other people who, actually, I have a lot of friends who feel pretty good about themselves. And they think they've got it figured out, and they've got their 401ks, and they've got a good retirement plan. They don't need the Lord. And Of course, we all know everybody needs the Lord. The message of the cross, I didn't see any provisos in here in Colossians. I read that the centrality of Christ only applied to one group of people. We all need the Lord. You know, happy Martin Luther King Day. One of Martin Luther King's favorite quotes of mine is, darkness cannot change darkness. Only light can change darkness. And that's the message of the cross. That's the message of the gospel. You'd be amazed at what will happen if you let that message pervade. So Jeff is going to come up. We're going to play. We're going to have an invitation. Elders go in the back. But if anybody wants prayer, or if they want to make that decision or talk about making that decision to receive the Lord as your Savior, we'll be out in the back today for that.